Hello and welcome to another edition of NCA Chat. Myself and Chris Heal, of course, have got a guest on because me and him nattering doesn't really go down too well generally. We are joined by Chairman of World Rugby, Bill Beaumont. Bill, how are things?
Not too bad, thank you. Well, actually pretty hectic at the moment. Sort of ever since the probably middle to end of March, it's been sort of full on trying to pick a way around the coronavirus and trying to get tournaments started if we can't get them started, and so it's not been challenging time, not just for the international game but obviously the community game as well.
Yes, of course, and obviously today's topic is mainly going to be about the community game. We're not going to ask you the big questions that people generally will ask. And obviously, firstly, it's obvious why you're here. Your association with Fylde is renowned across the rugby world. Essentially, you started there as a 17-year-old, I understand, and you know, correct. How important to you is the community game to the sport of rugby?
Well, the community game is the DNA of the sport. Where do international players come from? They come from the community game. They start off at a mini junior section, or go and watch the dad play, of the brother play, or the sister play, or the mum might be helping out in the club, might be playing herself. You know, you go down to a rugby club, and a rugby club to me is a unique environment. I think it's where people want to go and enjoy themselves. You obviously want to go and play well, participate in a great team game. But also, rugby clubs are fun places, I always think. And it is the first place I went to when we were allowed to go and have a drink in a bar. I went to Fylde. First place I went to for a pint. Had too much, by the way, as well.
I was going to say, Bill, you touched on at the start there that this has been a really tough time for the game and obviously the community game as well. But you speaking so candidly there about Fylde suggests that these clubs are still massively a massive part of society and a massive part of the community.
Well, they are. I think my wife, I always think, has a really good analogy about things. If you go to the most little villages in the country, you'll always find a cricket club. And quite often you'll find there'll be a sports club. But often you'll find a little rugby club that's been going for years and years and years. And look, it's getting harder in the community game. There's more demands on players' time. There are more things for people to do. I think there's more pressure on young people to maybe get a part-time job if you've got a fund education. And I just think that it's more and more difficult for the community club. That's why it's important that I think that we should all pull together and sort of try and help each other.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And in terms of there that you said before about, you know, these England players do come from these community clubs and local clubs as well. How important is that development of these players at National League level? Because people could talk about academies and that's a route into the top of the game, but these local clubs could also play their part.
Well, they've got enormous part to play because they're the ones who start the kids off mini junior rugby. Then they might go to a rugby playing school, but deep down, that's their first club where they first started. And I used to think it's quite interesting that Stuart Lancaster, when he was coach of the RFU, I think of all the ball boys on there, he got all the clubs where all the players had started from. And I thought it was just a really, really good concept to actually to engage with the community game and sort of, look, the community game, without it, then we wouldn't produce as many rugby players. The game would really, really suffer. So that is our, when I come back to our DNA, that's what it is. That is what rugby is about. And if you think for every Joe Lawnsbury who's made, say, 60 odd times for England, whatever it is, he started off playing somewhere in a community game. I think he played National League rugby at Worthing or something like that. But you look at the guys in the England team, Carl Sinclair, you know, he's played a lot in NCAA rugby. I can look at other guys like Mike Haley, who's now playing in Ireland, that he was NCAA rugby. So a lot of players, it's been a breeding ground of many, many good players.
Yeah, and of course, Fylde are pretty well represented. Who's in there at the minute? Richard Wigglesworth, Kieran Brooks, and of course, your son, Josh, probably should mention him. You know, we talk about Josh, for example. He started off at, what, fly half, and he was 6 foot whatever playing at fly half. And yourself, you were playing in the backs at one point before moving into the forward?
I was a very slow fullback. I played one game at Fylde when I was 17 for six to 13. And that's the only time I ever, they looked at me and said, no chance. So I then trundled my way into the forwards. But it was, I think, and it gets you part of a club. It gets you into it to enjoy and appreciate what club rugby is about. And there is a big commitment. You know, people don't realise there is a big commitment. If you play National League rugby, it's a long season. You do a lot of travelling. But also, I think they probably have a lot of fun as well.
No, definitely. And obviously, you were playing for England at a time where it was pretty ordinary to have a job, as well as doing, you know, you get to do the great things like the international honours. Obviously, we can see some of your caps behind you right now and all that kind of stuff.
Pretty ordinary, Joe. Everybody has to have a job. it was an amateur game. You might have had a pretty ordinary job, but it wasn't ordinary playing for England, I can assure you.
Of course. And obviously, it must have been a great point of pride for you to be handing your son Josh a trophy, what was it, over a year ago now at Twickenham when he captained England, the 15. You know, obviously, that's kind of a great symbol, isn't it, of the community game, because I think a lot of those guys have come from playing that kind of game. I think Johnny Williams, he's London Irish Wild Geese and stuff like that. It's great to see that there still are so many pathways to the professional game through playing community rugby.
Yeah, and I think Premiership clubs should appreciate that it is a good standard. The very standard, you know, you've got to sort of... I know Josh had always said to the lads at Sale, for instance, who come on loan, said, unless you're the absolute star, you're never going to make it in the Premiership. He said, because it's tough. It's a hard... and I can think of lots of lads who've come down sort of in the past who've played at Fylde for quite a number of games. And Fylde play quite a... don't want to keep talking about Fylde, but Fylde play a really expansive sort of game. So I think a lot of these lads who've come from the academy suddenly find it quite a difficult sort of game that they've got to play, you know, as opposed to a very, very structured game. But, you know, I think when I look back at my life, it was a different career. There was every club where sort of had a really good player, maybe not a star player. You play county rugby. So around here, if I look at the team that there were, Tony Neary was the most capped, played at Broughton Park. Mike Fleming, unfortunately, just passed away, played at Liverpool. Frank Cotton played at Sale. Steve Smith played at Sale. I played at Fylde. John Carlton played at Oral. Peter Squires played at Harrogate. You know, so they weren't sort of, in those days, the sort of superstar teams. But when we all came together playing for Lancashire or playing for the north of England, then we did have a good team.
And Bill, those experiences you talk about there, you know, you talk about the international honours, you were able to win and you reel off some brilliant names there. Is that why it's so important for you to keep talking about the community game, because of what you guys have experienced in the past?
Well, I love going on the, when I sort of talk about Josh, but his elder brother, Sam played for far more times for Fylde than I did. He captained the club, which I never captained them. He played for England amateurs, England counties, and he good rugby player with Sam. And I've been on some great trips with the lads and with Sam, sort of to go on a away trip. I can think of one, Blackheath away, sort of.
Mike's told us to mention Blackheath away, Bill.
It would not have been my... It was the following Sunday. Was not a great day. That's a bit rough, but it was a great day that Roman Sam scored a try, Fylde won, and they had really, really good fun on the train coming back. So those are good days. Good days. Excuse me, I just turned this off.
No problem, Bill. I was going to say, did Josh play that day as well?
Josh played that day. Yeah, Josh played that day. And Sam played, and it was also a very sad day because a guy called Brendan Hanavan, who was one of the leading try scorer at Fylde, a very good winger, that he had terminal illness, and it was his last sort of trip with the lads, and so it was quite a lot of old players went. So it was a very nostalgic trip, but also it was a good trip because we drank a lot of beer coming back. With Mike Brennan as well. But with Mike, his son Ollie played on the wing. Sam played back row, played second row. All through their rugby career, played for the same club and same school. And so throughout their rugby career, they've been intertwined, really.
And how often do you still get down to the Woodlands? Is it pretty much every other game when you're allowed to?
Whenever I can. I can walk to it. I can walk to the ground. It takes me probably 10 minutes to get, five, 10 minutes to get there, and they're the same coming back. And so, yeah, every home game I'll go and watch. Yeah, watch and stop for a couple of pints. And a lot of my old teammates are there. Still reminisce about the good old days.
Yeah, that community feel as well you spoke about, Bill. I know one of the highlights of the National 2 North calendar in recent years has been Fylde versus Hoppers. Is that when we see sort of the best of the community game as well? Because you can see Woodlands packed out. I think it was over around 2,000 people were there at Boxing Day this year.
It's a huge crowd for both teams. And whilst a local rival, we've been local rivals, it was their 150th anniversary as well. Our centenary this year. So look, whilst the rivals are still mates, you know, there's good people there and the club get on. But it's you want to win, of course you want to. You don't want to lose a local derby. But I think it's a pity that for next year that they unfortunately got relegated, so they're not in the league next year, which is a huge pity because I would think the gate takes will be significantly diminished for both clubs by not playing each other.
And do those games kind of encapsulate what the community game's about, do you think, Bill?
Well, it is because you meet up with people that you don't necessarily sort of... and you reminisce of old players get together and the reunions. And you get when we played on Boxing Day, you get a lot of students who've come back from both clubs. And it was a great atmosphere that day. Really was a good atmosphere. And, and it should carry on as well. You know, it should carry on because... that's what sport's about.
And obviously a lot of sports clubs, you know, across the country, probably across the world as well. Obviously, we don't want to be stuck in this kind of narrative of just England as well because of your role. Community teams are struggling at the minute. How important for you is it for teams not only to be supporting their communities, but, you know, kind of sticking by one another in what is a really difficult period of world history?
Yes, it's you would never have imagined sort of... anything like this ever happening with the whole world sort of closing down. And I think sort of what rugby does in a community, bring people together, it helps people. If you're struggling, then you'll go to somebody at the rugby club who'll help out. There's always somebody there that will have the necessary skills to help you. And that's not only in the UK, but that's throughout the globe. And I think that is a camaraderie that there is in within rugby. And it's one of sort of... collaboration is one of teamwork and it's one of people pulling together. And I think you will see the best in rugby during this pandemic.
And one of the things as well, Bill, just to kind of finish on is that I know the county championships having to take a backseat because of what's happened with the COVID-19 situation, but how keen are you to see that return as quickly as possible? And how much does it mean to these players to represent their county? Because I know, speaking to a few of the Lancashire lads, they just loved that day out at Twickenham and that sort of whole experience of playing at the home of English rugby.
Yep, I've seen it. All lads who are, they might have had a long 30-odd game season, but they will still be there to play for another three or four matches with a chance of going down to Twickenham. But you're going to remember that a lot of these lads have played together. They might have been a Lancashire under-14s team, under-15s, 16s, under-18s, under-20s. And then it's good for them to play with their old mates. And it's sort of, whether it's Lancashire, whether it's Cornwall, Cheshire and Yorkshire. But I think what it is that you sort of lads like this representative rugby. They do. It's a bit more enjoyable. So long may it continue and hopefully it'll come back again next year.
Many thanks to Bill for his time there. It was massively appreciated. Chris, some great stuff from Bill there.
Yeah, obviously, as he said at the start, Joey's a very busy man and has been a very busy man during this COVID-19 pandemic, global calendars, his re-election and stuff like that. So it's great to, you know, speak to Bill. And we knew before we chatted to him, Joe, didn't we, how much he's sort of champions, I think it's the right word to use, the community game. And just listening to him there, it's saying the DNA of the sport was something that really did stand out. And it's great to hear him reflect on kind of his memories with Fylde and how important that community game is, as well as the county game, as he said at the end. So great to get a short time with Bill Beaumont, as always.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And obviously someone who you can see at Fylde pretty much every week when he allowed it. I didn't realise he lived that close.
Yeah, he's not far from the ground, but he's always there when we do the stuff with Josh for Talking Rugby Union. And Josh says that Bill tries to get there as much as the time allows him. So, I think that alone shows it, doesn't it, Joe, that he can speak to all these important people, have a top job in world rugby, but when it comes to a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock and Fylde are playing whoever it may be in National 2 North or National 1, he'll be down there supporting the team on and having a couple of pints. And it just shows that he might be top of world rugby, but he's like you and I who just love that community aspect of the game.
Yeah, no. So that's kind of it for this episode of NCA Chat. The second one that I've been a part of, I think, ever. And we've done Bill Sweeney and Bill Beaumont. It could be a lot worse. Many thanks to, for watching this video. I think we release it as a podcast as well, which is generally the way it goes. But you can follow us at NCA_rugby on Twitter. You can follow us at NCA Rugby on Instagram. Just type in NCA Rugby into Facebook, will be at the top. Even on LinkedIn as well, if you want to keep them up to date, we post, I post everything on there that goes out on the website. Just thank you very much for watching, listening, all that kind of stuff. And tune in again when we have our next guest.